News broke yesterday that pipe bombs had been sent to prominent Democrats, including former President Barack Obama, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, former Vice President Joe Biden, along with other Democratic politicians. CNN was also evacuated for a similar package containing an explosive device. All of the suspicious packages were intercepted before they made it to their intended targets, and now there's a nationwide search underway to find the culprit. But the fact that multiple devices were sent to high-profile critics of President Trump and recipients of his criticism have people asking whether political rhetoric may be encouraging people to commit violent acts. Our next guest is here to talk about the divisive speech in politics and what can be done to calm things down. Don Hader-Markle is a professor and chair of political science at the University of Kansas. Don, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon.
Well, with the qualification that we don't know who's behind these attacks or what their motivation was, do you see a connection, big picture, between heated political rhetoric and threats or actual acts of violence?
Well, I think that rhetoric is taking place in the context of, obviously, we have a very divided and politically polarized country. So it's more that rhetoric and inflammatory speech, the derogatory language against political opponents and painting them as enemies in this particular context is more dangerous than it might be in another context.
Why is that?
I think the basic fact of the matter is there are always people out there that we can label as political extremists. And some of those people in some moments may be incited to act on those beliefs and engage in violence against what they perceive as their enemies. And the speech itself then basically helps lead them to the conclusion that their elected leaders, their public officials that can't act on these beliefs need somebody to act for them, and they're willing to take those steps.
I want to give a listen to President Trump. He responded yesterday afternoon to these pipe bombs in the mail, saying there was no place for this kind of activity. Speaking in Wisconsin last night, campaigning for Republicans ahead of the midterm election, he acknowledged the news. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
It's one way to settle our disagreements. It's called peacefully at the ballot box. That's what we want. That's what we want. As part of a larger national effort to bridge our divides and bring people together, the media also has a responsibility to set a civil tone and to stop the endless hostility and constant negative and oftentimes false attacks and stories. Have to do it. Have to do it. They've got to stop. Bring people together.
Do you see, Don, a role for the media in trying to dial down divisive rhetoric?
Honestly, I find his comments a little confusing since he's the one who tends to dial things up. You know, the media certainly has a role to play in all of this in reporting on the facts and maintaining a civil tone, and I guess I would argue that much of the mainstream media has been able to effectively do that in a time of divisive politics. There have, of course, been moments where the news media has done things that were inappropriate, but to turn to the media as the culprit behind this or even as a major motivator behind this, I think, would be silly. We could certainly turn to media such as social media and the sort of narrowcasting echo chambers that people can place themselves in, including with conspiracy theories, that helps motivate people to think there are really horrible things happening in the world and they have to take action.
This isn't the only act of political violence we've seen recently. There was the shooting last summer, the summer of last year, specifically targeting Republicans at a baseball practice. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders answered questions from reporters today and had this to say about last year's incident in relation to this week's news.
The president is certainly not responsible for sending suspicious packages to someone, no more than Bernie Sanders was responsible for a supporter of his shooting up a Republican baseball field practice last year. The idea that this is at the hands of the president is absolutely ridiculous.
Don, what do you say to that? Is there a difference, or are these part of the same sort of divisive political landscape?
I really don't like to get into the debate about the sort of whataboutism, but I would point specifically to the fact that Trump is willing to use language to dehumanize and belittle his enemies and praise those who use physical violence against the news media or protesters and things like that. And that's not something, at least I understand, Bernie Sanders would be willing to do.
Talking to Don Hader Markle, professor and chair of political science at the University of Kansas, looking at this week's pipe bomb incidents mailed to a number of Democratic leaders, a liberal donor, and CNN, so far Robert De Niro as well. Don, have we been here before? Have we seen comparable moments in American history and comparable attacks and threats in American history?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you can even go back to as recently as the anthrax mailings in 2001. You know, and although there are problems with the way that investigation was conducted, that was certainly politically motivated. And of course, if we go back earlier into the 1980s and 1970s and 1960s, we can find examples of both right-wing and left-wing political extremists who target their opponents. They're just not typically as these high-profile kind of persons that were targeted here.
Do we have examples from the past of leadership, whether it's from a president or other public figures, that can effectively tone things down, send out a message that people listen to, maybe the people who agree with them, people who don't, a message that this isn't the way to do politics?
I don't think it's one single message that can do it. I think it has to be an actual change in tone that's consistent over time. And as we've seen with the president last night and this morning, that tone hasn't really changed much. We have the one statement and then the tone doesn't change. And the overall tone is what is going to have the last this longing effect rather than simply one statement that the president makes.
What kind of statement or what kind of, I guess, tone would you like to see from President Trump and from leaders of both parties?
So I think on both sides that the painting your political opponents as enemies or as evil is just not going to be a way to tone things down. The simple fact of the matter is people disagree on political issues. We may disagree or find some of the decisions that are made by our political opponents as negative, but it doesn't mean that we should simply paint them as evil or try to dehumanize them, because that's what paves the way for political violence.
We'll bring on a caller. Tracy is with us in Green Bay. Tracy, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that I think that Trump's ongoing rhetoric when he discusses the Democratic Party and calling them a mob just calls for the extremist groups to come out with these kinds of activities like sending bombs. And so I guess I want to agree with your guest, and I think that that particular comment of his stated over and over again, while he isn't responsible, doesn't make him responsible for these acts, I think certainly calls into question his judgment with regards to how he's running things.
Tracy, thanks for the call. Do you see this changing anytime soon, Don?
Honestly, I don't. I mean, with the election just around the corner, if anything, I expect things will continue to heat up. The way, I think, as your caller pointed out, the way Democrats are being painted as a mob and not as sort of a faceless, personless mob helps in that process of dehumanizing. But also in talking about potential refugees that are trying to reach the United States in this caravan that's in Central America, literally describing them as this sort of incoming tide of humans that somehow are faceless and threatening to the rest of us, I think is this invoking fear is a strategy of the president and becoming a broader strategy with Republican candidates that are on the ballot this November.
And Don, as we start to wrap up, we've got a fairly dramatic incident, these bombs being mailed to a bunch of prominent political figures, media institutions, and elsewhere. I've seen some arguments that, hey, media don't overcover this. You're just you're rewarding the perpetrator, in effect, by giving this all that attention. What do you make of that line of thinking?
Well, I would think it deserves some coverage. There is a real security concern here. I think it remains to be seen how just how dangerous these devices really are, and were they really sort of set to go off if you opened a package, or are they just really rudimentary devices that basically almost anyone could make with plans off the internet? I think that's one factor, but until we have that full information, it seems like a reasonable story for the news media to cover.
We'll leave it there for now. Don, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Don Hader-Markle is a professor and chair of political science at the University of Kansas. He was with us to talk about political rhetoric and whether or not it's encouraging people to commit acts of violence. Coming up in our series of candidate interviews, we'll talk to Republican Congressman Sean Duffy, running for re-election to Wisconsin's 7th congressional district seat. Stay with us here on Central Time.